The Young Huguenots, Chapter 1, at St. Croix. I do not care what you say, Henry. It is very disagreeable. It is not at all fair that we should be treated as babies, and that Aurella should know everything. The speaker was a girl of 14 years old who paused at the bottom of the seesaw, keeping her brother in the air that she might give utterance to the above sentiments. She was a very pretty girl, and the scene around her was also very pretty. It was a rambling sort of place, half garden, half plantation, fallen trees and long rank grass mingled with brilliant flowers which flourished in wild luxuriance. It was surrounded on all sides by a wood, principally of fir trees, but toward the west an opening among them showed a pretty chateau at a little distance, and beyond that, far away on the horizon, a line of purple hills behind which the sun would soon go down. Mary de St. Croix was the only daughter belonging to the chateau, a brilliant, dark-eyed little maiden, with long, dark hair, a rosebud of a mouth, and roses on her cheeks. Three of her brothers were with her, Henry, her twin brother, Guillaume, little more than a year younger, and little Louise, a lovely child of five, who was almost as much petted as his sister Marie. He was sitting on the grass making a daisy chain. Guillaume was suspended in the air at the other end of the plank, patiently waiting till Marie should choose to release him. Henry, who was taller and rather fairer than his sister, with bright brown hair, hazel eyes, and clearly cut features, was standing thoughtfully beside her, leaning against a pile of old moss-grown logs. After a little pause, he spoke an answer to Marie. Aurella is older than we are, you know. Bah! It is not 2 short years. Were we not 14 last week? Exclaimed his sister, leaping off the plank with a suddenness which sent Gloom flying into the grass near to Louise, where he settled himself comfortably without any remark or even a look at his sister. She, taking as little heed to the matter as he did, walked impatiently away from the shrubs, among the shrubs, still speaking to Henry, who followed her as a matter of course. Not 2 years, she repeated, and to be 16 is not to be so very old after all. Henry, and the dark eyes that she turned on him suddenly flashed with tears. You know it is not that I am jealous of Aurella, not that I do not know how brave and noble and love-worthy he is, but, oh, Henry, I want to be brave and noble too. I know why it is, since that dreadfully sad Sunday, when we had no service in the church and all the people were crying, that they have all those secrets, that Mama and Papa and Aurella go every week and spend nearly the whole night away. I guess what they are doing. Do not you? Perhaps, said Henry soberly. Confess it, then. Do you not want to go also, instead of being hushed out of the way and sent to bed with the babies? Are you not also ready to die for your religion? And the little maiden's face glowed, and her tone grew almost fierce. I wish to go, yes, answered her brother in the same quiet tone. But I sometimes think... Listen, Marie, he added, suddenly lifting up his head, so that the western light shone upon it and showed a look in the deep brown eyes which was not often there. We have talked of such things all our lives, and we have been always waiting for the danger. And how has it been? We have lived here happy and safe all our lives. We have never had even to be secret till now. Marie, I remember this, and it makes me think, what if we could not do it? How can we tell what we would do and dare? I cannot take in the idea of anything different from all our lives. Can you? But Marie had not been attending to the latter part of his speech, or it is doubtful whether even her devoted love for her twin brother would have saved Henry from a burst of indignation and contempt. She was straining her eyes to make out two figures who could be seen through the opening in the woods, drawing near to the castle. Almost before Henry had finished speaking, she exclaimed, "It is the father and Arella with him. Let us come on to see him, Henry. It is so long since he has been to the castle in the day." And both children broke into a run. Meanwhile, Arella de St. Croix and his company had already reached the castle and were passing down a rarely used passage which led from a small side door to the salon. The father, as Marie had called him, was now in truth a Huguenot minister, but unlike most of his class, he had retained a dress which differed but little from that of a Romish priest, and still loved to be called by a title which Huguenot pastors did not generally claim. He had many reasons for doing so, and he lived in too retired a part of the country to hold much communication with his Reformed brethren. He had escaped all strictures on his conduct. He was now getting old, and his hair was already white, yet at 63 his figure was as upright and his eye as full of life as were those of Arella de St. Croix, the fair, handsome boy, who now entered before him into the salon, saying, "Here is Father Gabriel, dear mother." Madame St. Croix, a slight, graceful woman, and with a strong likeness to her daughter Marie, and broke off in the midst of a sentence to her husband and hurried forward as Arella spoke. "O Father Gabriel, we are in such trouble. One does not know what to think, how to decide. For myself, I am ready to stay here, to brave everything, but he thinks differently. Tell him, my Louis." "We were agreed before. Is it not so, Gabriel?" said Monsieur de St. Croix, holding out his hand with a grave, sad smile to the curé. "Little wife, do not grieve so. It must have come to this sooner or later." "Have you had fresh news, then?" asked the curé, drawing his chair to the table with the air of one who is perfectly at home. Madame de St. Croix had sunk into a low seat and leaned against Arella, who supported her with a sweet boyish dignity. Monsieur de St. Croix stood drawn up to his full height, regarding them with a look that would have seemed stern to those who did not know him. It was he who spoke in answer to Father Gabriel. "Yes, there is no doubt that those dragonnades are to commence in our neighborhood without loss of time, and there is but one course left, a speedy flight." "Should you attempt to leave the country?" asked Father Gabriel thoughtfully. Both he and his cousin de St. Croix had been too well prepared by a long train of circumstances for this determination to waste words in regretting it. "Not if I can help it," answered Monsieur de St. Croix, knitting his dark eyebrows. "It may be only a temporary flight after all. Remember that, little wife. I propose to make first for St. Louis de Linard, and remain there for a while, till it is certain whether or not His Majesty will proceed in his godly work to the end. If it be a thunderstorm, though I fear it has already gone on too long for that, why, you may see us again, Cousin Gabriel, before the year is over. If not," and the brave voice took a deeper tone, "God only knows, but I trust he will enable us to escape to England." "Ah!" exclaimed his wife, with an involuntary cry. "Father Gabriel, is it quite impossible that we remain here till we know whether or not we must go to England? To leave our home, our poor people? Lois, you are not afraid that we should yield. Why, then, should we not wait here?" "Because," said her husband very quietly, "sooner than you should be exposed to such atrocities as have taken place at Nimes, at Angoulême, no, Perigueux, scarce a league from here, and that not 2 days ago, I would run my own sword into your heart." Madame de St. Croix cowered in her chair with an irrepressible gasp of terror. Aurella, who had not yet spoken, bent down over her to whisper, "Courage, sweet mother. God is in the storm. He will surely see us safe through it." "When do you propose to start?" asked Father Gabriel. "As soon as it grows dark," said Monsieur de St. Croix. "Most of my preparations are already made, but there are the children, little wife." "Yes, Louis, I will go and see that all is right. Aurella, will you call them in? They should rest first." "Yes, mother," and Aurella opened the door for his mother to pass out, but lingered for a moment himself to listen to what his father and uncle were saying. Gabriel de St. Croix had risen, and the two were standing side by side upon the fireless hearth. Monsieur de St. Croix was in reality only 10 years older, 10 years younger than his cousin, but few who looked at them together would have guessed that they had been friends and companions almost all their lives. Louis had the same tall, soldierly figure and keen dark eyes, but his black hair had only lately become streaked with gray, and there was an air of vigorous determination about him which was altogether different from the grave, resolute bearing of the pastor. But that there was a rare, deep love and sympathy between these two men, no one could doubt who had seen the gesture with which Louis de St. Croix put his hand on Gabriel's shoulder as Madame de St. Croix left the room. "You will not come with us then, Gabriel, mon ami? Your mind is quite made up?" "Quite," answered Gabriel quietly. "It is as clearly my duty to stay as it is yours to go. My people and I have lived, and we will die together if it come to that. God grant that we may not be found wanting." "It is goodbye, then," said Louis, as the cousins clasped hands. "I feel like a coward," he added with a passionate emotion which Aurella had never seen his father show before, "and yet I know that it is right. Oh, Gabriel, my friend, my friend." "It is au revoir also," answered Gabriel with the grave, sweet dignity in which, boy as he was, Aurella already resembled him. "God bless you, dear Louis, and keep you under the shadow of the eternal wings." There was an instant silence in the room, and then the two Frenchmen drew closer together for a moment and kissed each other for the last time. Aurella, feeling that he could remain no longer an unobserved spectator, slipped quietly away and went to find his sister and brothers. Henry and Marie came running up the terrace as Aurella came out upon it. "Aurella," cried Marie, "has Father Gabriel come? We saw him with you just now." "Yes, he is in the salon with Papa," answered Aurella, taking his sister's hand. "But you must not go in there just now. They are busy, and Mama wants you." "Oh, Aurella, is it more mysteries?" asked the girl wistfully. "Tell us, dear Aurella, what does it all mean? We are not children, Henry and I, and we will be so brave." "That is right, dear," said Aurella, who felt that they must be told something at any rate. "Then you will not cry and make a fuss if I tell you what we are going to do. We are going to leave home for a while, because Father does not think it is safe here just now, and we are going to the chateau at St. Louis de Lenard." "But Aurella, going away?" asked the bewildered child. "When are we to go, and why is it not safe? Nobody has heard us yet, because we are Protestants." "No, because it was not against the law till last year. I can't stop to make you understand just now, Marie, because Mama is waiting for you. We are going to start tonight. Go to her. She asked me to fetch you all. I suppose Louis and Guillaume are in the wood?"
"Yes,
but Aurella, tonight?" "Oh, poor Mama," added Marie with a quivering voice. Henry had not spoken a word, and now he only took Marie's arm and led her into the house, while Aurella turned toward the plantation from which they had just come. He went straight into to their usual playground, and as he came out upon the half-cleared space, a last ray of sunlight straggled through the opening, showing him a pretty figure against the dark background of firs. It shone full upon the long golden curls and white dress of little Louis, who still sat with his hat off and his lap full of daisies, close by a pile of logs which were half covered with the trailing leaves and delicate white blossoms of the bindweed. A tangle of cabbage roses were dropping brilliant petals on the long grass in which lay Gloom dreamily relating a story in a low monotonous tone, almost like a chant. Louis saw his brother directly and ran to meet him. "Arella, come to play with us. Oh, Arella, come and see my daisies." "What a pretty change," said Arella, smiling brightly at the little fellow in spite of his sad thoughts. "But I cannot come and play with you now. I have come to take you home." "Oh, Arella, it can't be bedtime yet. Let us stay out just a little longer." "Well, you will not go to bed just yet at any rate. But you must come to Mama. She wants both you and Gloom. Come, Gloom."